What are the specific causes of adabul qabr that are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah? This is a, as far as I can tell, an exhaustive list, and I always can be mistaken. And if you find other things, please tell me and I'll add them to the list. But I tried to make this an exhaustive list with the condition. This is the condition I have. Firstly, it is authentic. And secondly, it is explicitly linking this action with adabul qabr. Okay? Because we began by stating, generically, every sin is potentially punished in adabul qabr. Right? Generically, it is possible any sin can be punished in the qabr. We're not talking about generic. We want to know, what did Allah and His Messenger explicitly link to adabul qabr from, for us to be aware of? And so one of the reasons we should be aware of this is we need to be extra careful about these particular sins. And we began by once again reminding ourselves, I've done some of these evidences before, but the adab al-qabr is something that is well known. And there is a very terrifying hadith in Sahih Muslim. Anas ibn Malik said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لَوْلَا أَن تَدَافَنُوا, were it not for the fact that you would stop burying your dead, I would have made dua to Allah that you hear the adab al-qabr that I am able to hear. This is a terrifying hadith because we are being told, if we could hear adab al-qabr, we would stop burying our dead. لَوْلَا أَن تَدَافَنُوا, were it not for the fact you would stop doing dafn of one another, then I would have made dua. I didn't make that dua, but I would have made that dua to Allah that you hear the adab al-qabr. يُسْمِعُكُم مِّنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. That's what I am able to hear. And that is a very terrifying hadith. Now, let us begin our list. Number one, which is the most obvious one, the kafir. And as for the kafir, and category two, which is the munafiq. So one and two, kafir and munafiq. These are the only two that are mentioned in the Quran, adabul qabr. These are the only two categories that are mentioned in the Quran. There is no reference whatsoever of the adabul qabr for the believer in the Quran. We only learn this from the sunnah. Okay? So the Quran indicates adabul qabr for two categories. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا عَذَابًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Allah says, after mentioning Jahannam, then Allah says, and indeed, those that have done shirk, ظَلَمُوا here shirk, those that have done shirk will also suffer a punishment lesser than that. But most of them don't understand. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They don't know that. Now, what is the punishment lesser than Jahannam, right? دُونَ ذَلِكَ. They have something that is lesser than Jahannam. So Ibn Abbas said, Duna thalik, it is the adab of the qabr. Okay, so we have evidences in the Quran that the kafir has adab al-qabr. Jayyid. The second category is nifaq, and that is hypocrisy. We said the Quran mentions adab al-qabr for the munafiq. And again, there are a number of verses, and of them is Surah Tawbah. Allah says in the Quran, وَمِمَّنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مُنَافِقُونَ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرَدُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. The people around you, some of them are munafiqun. These A'rab, the Bedouins, the A'rab, they are munafiqun. You don't know them, I know them. Then Allah says, سَنُعَذِّبُهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. We're going to punish them twice. Then they will be given to the worst punishment, which is Jahannam. Notice, we will punish them twice. Ibn Abbas said, they will be punished in this world by being exposed and humiliated. Then they will be punished in the qabr, in adabul qabr. Then they're going to be taken to Jahannam. Right? So this is also an indirect reference to adabul qabr for the munafiq. So this is point number three. Kufr, shirk, and then number three is urine. Number four, and then we'll see if we can get number five, and then we'll open it for you. Number four, the same hadith of the two, that he passed by two people in the grave. They're being punished for some things that are not big, rather they are big. As for one of them, he would not protect himself from the bowl. As for the other, فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَ, he would be walking between people with namima. Now, in both of these cases, these two people were habitual in what they did. It wasn't a one-off. at some level, may Allah forgive us, we all sometimes fall into this occasionally. Yani sometimes we cannot be careful and maybe some najis falls. May Allah forgive us. Sometimes a little bit of ghima and namiba takes place. We all ask Allah's forgiveness. The adabul qabr is not for the one-off from the hadith. As for the other, فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ He made it his lifestyle. He was known to be tattletale. And what is namima? Namima is to hear something that is said about someone in one gathering and then to go tell him with the intention of making problems, causing issues between him and the other person. Okay? So namima, namma means to convey. In Arabic, namma means to convey. So namima, you convey something. But there's a technical definition. You convey what was said about the person to the person. So you're in one gathering and something was said that should not have been said. And that's basically ghiba. Jayyid, the ghiba is bad. It's haram enough. But if the ghiba remains in that room, the damage is internal. When the ghiba is taken back to the person, this is called namima. And namima is worse than ghiba, because namima is what ends up doing the damage. Namima is what actually causes the damage. As for ghiba in and of itself, that is haram. And you know what Allah says about it in the Quran. And the sin is between the person and Allah. But if that ghiba remains in that room, then it's not going to destroy the bonds. Namima is tattletaling the ghiba back to that person. Right, and this is obviously haram. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hadith is a Sahih Muslim." لا يدخل الجنة نمام. The one who does namima all the time shall not enter Jannah. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another hadith said, "لا يدخل الجنة قتات." The one who breaks the ties between people shall not enter Jannah. So the one who makes it his habit that he wants to cause fitna or fasad, or she wants to be the gossiper, always tattletaling and talking about other people and whatnot. And this is a problem between men and women. A'udhu billah. Both parties are guilty of this, and it is not befitting the dignity of a Muslim to talk about the other people, firstly in their absence, and secondly to then go back and tell them. In any case, the hadith says, as for the other, then he would walk around with namima. Now, if you look at this, the first guy was careless in the rituals, the bowl. The second guy was careless in personal akhlaq. And our scholars say this indicates overall that sins may be punished in adab al-qabr. The first person was careless in rituals, ibadat. The second was careless in mu'amalat, breaking the ties of kinship. So this hadith indicates that the one who makes a lifestyle of being careless, because again, this is a lifestyle. This is a person who was always, he didn't care about bowl, had no concept of tahara. And the other one always, kana yamshi bin namima. So this is number four. Number five, in one version of the hadith, or a similar hadith, or a different one, we're not sure exactly. Our Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he passed by two graves. And he said, as for the other one, he was somebody who would do ghiba. And ghiba and namima are two circles that overlap. Every namima has to have a ghiba. Right? So they're two circles that are similar. And in that hadith, he put two branches in the graves. And he said, as long as these branches are moist, their adhab will be lifted up for them. And this is an evidence, we're going to come to this next week, that the adab of the qabr for the believer can vary, can stop and can start. The adab al-qabr for the believer is not like for that of the kafir. The adab al-qabr for the believer can be temporary. It can also stop maybe even after a while. And in this hadith, it stopped for these two. The sixth point, kibr or arrogance and pride. Kibr or arrogance and pride. And we know the hadith about arrogance. We know our Prophet ﷺ said, the one who has a mithqalu dharra, an atom's weight of kibr, shall not enter Jannah. And so many hadith about kibr. We also have adab al-qabr linked to kibr. Hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Our Prophet ﷺ said, there was once a man who was walking in a cloak of finery, in a cloak that he's boastful and arrogant about, impressed with himself, having combed his hair finely, walking about, yatabattar, yani means he has kibr in him. Like, you know, he thinks he is it, right? And as he's walking around with that sense of pride, and Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَعًا, don't walk around with that sense of pride. And remember Qarun and his story, right? Same thing over here. Our Prophet ﷺ said, as he was walking around with that batr, with that kibr in his heart, Allah caused the earth to open up and swallow him. And he will continue to be swallowed and descending until Qiyamah. Until Qiyamah means, when is he being punished? Where is he being punished? In the Qabr. This is the punishment of the Qabr. Okay? So, the one who had kibr in his heart, A'udhu Billah. The one who had arrogance, this person as well, he has the potential to be subjugated to Azabul Qabr. Number 7 of the explicit reasons for Azabul Qabr mentioned in the hadith. Wailing over the dead. Wailing over the dead. That this is not the sunnah of Allah. The sunnah of Allah, you are dignified. Even if you cry, but you don't say, now what did our Prophet ﷺ say? I am sad you are gone, O Ibrahim. This is dignity. To go beyond this, for example, yani the haram thing to say is, how am I going to live? This is clear-cut haram. But the examples I've given here are in the gray area. You are our source of strength. Yani, it's not the same as saying, how will we live? But still, yani, why say something like this? Allah is the source. Why do this gray area? So this interpretation says, if the family members say these awkward phrases, then the person will be punished in the sense, interrogated, or find it hurtful, because it shouldn't be said. So this is some interpretations of this, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best in the end of the day. So this is point number 7. Point number 8 of the explicit things mentioned. Stealing the ghanima of the battlefield. Stealing the ghanima of the battlefield. And this is an authentic hadith, Bukhari and Muslim, in the issue of the battle of Uhud, that somebody died on the battle of Uhud, the sahaba praised him, and they said, oh, he died a shaheed, hani allahu, good luck to him, or congratulations to him. And our Prophet said, no, he is being punished right now, because the cloak that he stole and didn't declare, because you have to declare in the battlefield, the fiqh of the sharia says, anything you take, it must be declared, and it will be distributed equally. You cannot just hide something in your pocket and go away. This is a type of stealing from the common yani good. That's the rules of fiqh beyond the scope of our class. But this is what the guy did. He stole something before he died a martyr. And our Prophet ﷺ said, that cloak that he stole, it is wrapped around him and it is burning him right now in Jahannam. Point number 9, debt. Dying in a state of debt. Dain, debt. Yani you die and you owe people money. And we know from our traditions that dying in the state of debt is a very, very big issue. And our Prophet ﷺ would seek refuge in Allah from غَلَبَةُ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ, from having debt that is overpowering. We should try our best to live debt-free, to brothers and sisters. Try our best to never owe anybody money. It's a big amana on our shoulders. That's why we should pay it off as fast as possible. And only take qard if we really need it. And ask Allah to help us pay it off immediately. So the one who abuses this, the one who doesn't care, it's not on his mind, he doesn't prepare, and the one who is callous and lax in this regard, this is a major, major sin. Now as for the one who is needful, he needs it and he's conscious, inshallah, this is a different thing. But the one who just, oh, can you give me 10,000? Can you give me 5,000? And he just wants money. He doesn't care about paying it back. This person, it is a major sin. And when this person dies, this is a major sin. When he was abusing other people's generosity. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Ibn Majah, the ruh of the mu'min is mu'allaq, is suspended back until his debt is paid off. So our scholars mention this is a type of azab. His ruh is not in peace. His ruh will be mu'allaq. It is suspended. What does this mean? It means literally the ruh will not be in peace. It's not here, it's not there. It's not in its mustaqar, its final place. So the ruh is held back. And it is in a state of anxiety until the debt is paid off. And there are many a hadith about this. Of them, the famous one, when a person's janazah came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they all of his family came. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, does he have a debt? Jibreel must have told him. And they, because he usually did not ask this, or sometimes he would not ask it. They said, yes, he does. So he said this to make a point. He said, then I will not pray. Somebody else pray for him. So one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, I will pay off his debt. Can you pray for him? So then he prayed for him. This was to make the point clear to all of us. Don't take debt something light. The point was to make it clear. Don't take something lightly. When the person said, I will pay his debt, then you pray for him. He said, then I will pray for him. So the point is that a major sin is to live a life of constantly being in debt for no valid reason. Again, we're not talking about somebody that needs to. And now this is understandable. Don't take this hadith and go to the level of extremism here. No, we're talking about somebody who takes advantage of other people's generosity. And he's just greedy for money. And he doesn't care about paying the debt off. This is, our scholars say, this hadith applies to him. This is number 9.